Today's text includes a story within a story. If you separate them out, there is a story about a religious leader whose daughter is very ill, and a story of a woman who has suffered ill health for at least a dozen years. Both are stories of people who find themselves in need of healing, of people who need Jesus to do just what Jesus does. I wonder this week if we are surprised by Jesus' reaction to these people, or if we are able to predict exactly what Jesus will do for them. Central to this parable is the vulnerability of the characters. For a moment, let's notice the differences between the characters, and then we will notice their similarities. First, the differences. Jairus, he is a leader in the local synagogue. Because of his gender, position, and status, he would enjoy a comfortable level of power and prestige. And next we have a woman, unnamed. She is afflicted for more than a decade with an illness that has not only been painful and debilitating, but also has more than likely moved her to the fringes of her community because of laws. And third, a young girl, sick unto death, who has no rights, no power, little life left in her, and absolutely no say in what will happen to her. The three present as very different persons from very different stations of life. And yet, they are all united in an extreme vulnerability. Jairus, this powerful man, is reduced to the aching powerlessness that every parent feels when their beloved child is ill. He's so desperate that he doesn't even hesitate to fall on his knees and beg for Jesus to help him. The woman, she pushed herself to brave the crowd and the potential hostility she would experience within it, in the hope of just touching Jesus' robes. This man passing through her town, and a little girl wasting away with only hopes and prayers to surround her. These three characters, utterly different in station, utterly the same in condition. So then what is Jesus' response? Of course you know what he does. He shows compassion. And he heals them. He calls the unnamed woman daughter and tells her that her faith has made her well. And in this healing, Jesus not only restores her to health, but to her community. And then he restores the little girl to life and health, giving Jairus and his whole family a precious gift. David Lowes, a Lutheran preacher and teacher in the U.S., he wonders if we've become so accustomed to Jesus' compassionate response that it doesn't make much of an impression on us anymore. But he suggests that at this place in Mark's gospel, and perhaps even more importantly, at this time in our history, it's worth noting the very consistency, even predictability of this scene is what makes it so extraordinary. Jesus responds to the vulnerability of these three different characters, restoring them to health, life, and wholeness, because he always responds to vulnerability, offering health and life and wholeness to those who are in need of him. He has just crossed once again the border between two opposing lands and cross-contrasting, even hostile cultures. And his mission in both territories is the same: to seek out, to heal and restore those who are most vulnerable. A man possessed by demons on one side of the border, and these three different yet identical characters in need on the other. And that has been the consistent, even relentless pattern of Mark's story about Jesus. Everywhere and always, Jesus notices, cares for, and responds to those who are most vulnerable. Mother Teresa once said, "I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that. But now I pray that God will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do." "I used to pray for answers," she said, "but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things." For those of us who are foolish enough, perhaps, or those of us who know it's kind of necessary to watch the news or read the newspapers on a regular basis, well, we are all too aware of the state of the world today. Crisis after crisis, atrocities, things that I am sure should be criminal acts, boldly happening in front of the world's eyes. It is easy to lose hope. It is easy to despair. And quite frankly, it's pretty easy to pray that God would change things. It is harder, though, to pray as Mother Teresa modeled for us. When the world appears to be coming unhinged, we need to be ready to do the work of bringing the kingdom of God closer to where we are. We need to pray for God to help us see the needs, to go toward the vulnerable, and to do what we can to help them. In his commentary, Lowe's points out the emphasis on touch in the reading this week. Jairus begs Jesus simply to lay his hands on his daughter. The woman simply wants to touch Jesus' robes. And Jesus then doesn't simply lay his hands on the young girl in healing, as her father asked, but rather takes her by the hand and lifts her to life. Jesus doesn't simply respond to those in need theoretically or at a distance, but touches them, connects with them, and joins himself to them through his compassionate embrace. As people of God, that's us. This is our call: to follow Jesus' example, to reach out, to offer compassion and action to ease another's suffering. Because, friends, our prayers are inadequate. We must pray and then act. Act out our faith, be agents of compassion. We need to reach out, embrace the vulnerable in our communities, and offer the healing that comes only through Jesus. Amen.